This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our show. Your number is 877-217-5757. Please send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. We begin with Dr. Judith Sylvester of the Manship School. She's been there for 27 years. And for the last many years, more than 20, she's been pressing for a smoke-free campus, which LSU technically is. But as we know, there are always people who break the rules. And in Louisiana, we have a higher percentage of people in our state who smoke than the national average. And according to the CDC, a total of 15% of U.S. adults, 16.7% of men, and 13.6% of women smoke. That's down from 21% a decade earlier. And that's significant, but nonetheless, 36.5 million people are smoking every day in the United States, and about 20% smoking on some days. And smoking in many cases has been replaced by vaping, and Dr. Judith Sylvester, who for aesthetic reasons, among the health issues that are involved, also was against smoking on campus and the cigarette butts that are occasionally seen on the pristine LSU grounds. But she's also against vaping. And why don't we start there? Let's start, and maybe we'll move backward on this. But how big is vaping right now on campus, especially with young people?
Well, it's mixed because, of course, we don't have a lot of students on campus right now. But I had a class last semester with students where we were really looking at this issue of vaping on campus. And I did a survey last spring when we were in the lockdown, shutdown mode, to see what they were doing when they weren't on campus. And the really scary thing is that that they're vaping in huge numbers. And my survey had 40% of our students were regularly or occasionally using of some tobacco product, 40%. And that's about a 13% increase from 2018 when I had
What's the percent
time.
On that?
It's 40%.
40% of the students are vaping.
Well, or using tobacco products in
One
some
or
form.
The other. Okay.
The majority of those are actually vaping now.
Well, vaping is not as offensive to non-smokers, so why are you concerned about vaping?
Well, we've never framed this, any of this, properly. It is a huge public health issue. And I just want to say that, you know, more than 480,000 deaths annually are from tobacco, either exposure to the secondhand smoke or the aerosol in that happens with vaping. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for years, right? And that's pretty much equivalent to what we think we're going to be losing from COVID in a year's period of time. But, you know, look at what we're doing with COVID. We're vaccinating people. We're doing all these kinds of things. And we never talk about the fact that vaping is damaging to the lungs, which makes people much more susceptible to getting COVID if they're vaping and smoking. And there's a Stanford study that has come out that has shown this. And that's huge to me. And so they're vaping off campus, right? The students who live in housing around LSU during the summer, last fall, they'd gather around their swimming pools and they'd all be vaping. Sometimes they share a vaping, the materials. And that also, in my view, would help spread COVID-19. And yet nobody's really looking into that or talking about that. There's a lot of research going on about all the little particles and chemicals and things that are in vaping, in the aerosol that comes from that. And we all know, too, that, you know, that it is aerosol, right? And look at everything they've said about wearing masks to protect from your breath aerosol. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're vaping, you're putting out 40-50% more aerosol than you would otherwise. And also, you can't vape and wear masks. So I've also seen students, you know, either not have on a mask or pull down their mask to vape. And they were vaping in classrooms, too. And the students in my survey were much more aware of the vaping that was going on campus than faculty were.
All right, 877-217-5757, the Crusader Against Smoking and Vaping on the LSU campus, Dr. Judith Sylvester of the Manship School. Some surveys, and this is from health officials in Louisiana. For those with less than a high school education, 41% smoke, 41%. The U.S. average, 26%. So we're way ahead in that regard. For a high school graduate, 25.5% in Louisiana smoke. In the U.S., 22% overall. And with some college, 20%. And in the U.S., it's 17%. That's 20% in Louisiana. And for college grads, interesting, in Louisiana, 8.7% and 6.2% nationally. So the more educated we are, and also the figures dovetail with income as well, the more money people have, the less they smoke. That is interesting. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that definitely people that are more aware of health issues, who are more aware of media coverage, are going to see this public health issue that I'm talking about and understand that no, there is no form of tobacco that's good for you. And I have really been frustrated with the CDC and the FDA over the years because they, from the beginning, said, well, look, vaping is much better for longtime smokers. It's better to vape than to smoke cigarettes. But they really said that based on absolutely no scientific evidence to back that up. It was just the assumption that because it didn't have tar and some of these other things in it, that it had to be healthier, right? But they've never said it was healthy. But my argument is there is nobody below the age of 26, which is kind of the magic age. If you don't start smoking by age 26, you're very unlikely to, although I do think vaping is changing that, upping that number a bit. But I think that that is, you know, part of the whole situation is just that we're not paying enough attention to what's in these e-cigarettes and actually dealing with it because COVID has just taken over all of this. Because we did have a period of time when EVALI, which was a disease, lung disease associated strictly with vaping, was happening around the country. All 50 states had cases. A lot of people died. And they got really excited about it. And they were excited about it until February of last year when COVID started coming in. And then they weren't, suddenly, magically, there were no more EVALI cases. And I just don't believe that's the case. I just think we've lost the train on this because COVID-19 has been such a pervasive thing and has taken over public health, which is the ones that previously were paying attention to tobacco use.
All right, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Dr. Judith Sylvester of the Manship School. And smoking was banned on campus in 2014. And as mentioned, particularly on LSU football days, that policy is often violated by some people. Do you think these people who are violating it should be thrown in jail?
I have always said that education has to be the key to this. And obviously, enforcement has not worked. I mean, we haven't really even tried to enforce it. And the last few years, it got a whole lot worse. So I spent a lot of time a couple of years ago pushing for us to develop education programs on campus, require students to take them, to try to involve the athletic department, which has never really happened. And we were making progress with it. And then, you know, we hit March of last year and suddenly we were off campus and dealing with COVID and really spending a tremendous amount of time and effort getting our classes online. I mean, we did that really quickly. And then we spent the whole summer figuring out how we were going to manage things in the fall and now the spring. And so, you know, it just got lost in the shuffle with all of that. And so the committee that had been put together to hopefully work on getting some educational material hasn't met since last spring. So there's just, you know, it's just not happening right now. So my main hope is that we're pay attention to this now and before the fall actually have some guidelines in place and some real education on this because nicotine, for example, there was we did some focus groups or we were involved in some focus groups last semester, and we were, amazed at how many younger kids, middle school, high school kids, college kids, did not know that nicotine was in vaping and that nicotine is an addictive substance. And that's been the whole thing with vaping, is they keep increasing the nicotine levels.
Do you scold people when you see them smoking on campus or vaping?
I do, but I'm in the vast minority. Most 99% will not say anything. And that includes faculty people. There are a few like me who really pay attention to it and take it seriously. But like I said, the majority of the faculty in my survey, at least, were relatively unaware of how pervasive it was on campus, even in their classrooms.
All right. 877-217-5757. 2 days ago, Rush Hudson Limbaugh III died of lung cancer. He was a heavy cigar smoker. His grandfather lived to be 104 years old. Rush Hudson Limbaugh I, he did not smoke. Judith Sylvester is trying to get everybody to follow the lead of Rush I. We'll talk more in 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald is producing. Judith Sylvester, professor at the Manship School for 27 years and an advocate to stop smoking all over our society, but particularly on the LSU campus, and that includes vaping. She is here and giving us a progress report. Smoking was banned in 2014 on campus, and I remember well when people were smoking in the stands in the press box at Tiger Stadium, and that's all changed. And for the most part, people are complying. But in Louisiana, we have well over 20% of our populace who smoke, and in the nation, it's down to 15%. So we're not following the lead, and it dovetails with education and income. The more money somebody makes, the less likely they are to smoke, and the more educated they are, the less likely they are to smoke. Now, Rush Limbaugh lived in a $40 million mansion. He had a $100 million airplane, according to reports, but he was a smoker, and maybe it's because he flunked out of Southeast Missouri State University. 877-217-5757 is your number. Here is David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Dr. Sylvester. Good morning to you, David. David, can we pull David up, KDN? Are you there, my friend?
Could you hear me, Jim?
I can now, yes.
You know, Rush had so much to live for, and he destroyed himself. When I was a student in junior high school in a science class, we were shown a film of what a healthy lung looks like and what a lung looks like after somebody smoked and had lung cancer. Now, I never was ever going to be a smoker to begin with, but I can't imagine anyone seeing that photograph would ever wish to smoke. And I think more students, young people, should be shown that in their classes and maybe in junior high school, because it certainly would have changed my mind regarding smoking.
All right. David, good point from the man from Atlanta, Dr. Sylvester.
Yeah, I'd like to actually say a few words to parents and teachers out there. And actually focus a little bit on middle school and high school students, because to me that's the best thing we can do to protect LSU, is to stop it before it gets there. And there's been a couple of law changes in years that are important to this, and one of them is that, of course, the age of buying tobacco product has been raised to age 21. And my argument there is that also means that LSU should be able to at least, you know, enforce our policy for those below 21, like we do alcohol and other things. But nevertheless, there are a lot of education programs out there for middle school and high school. There's nothing for college students, at least that anybody knows, you know, is well known or national in scope. But CVS actually gave a grant to a group to work on educational materials. So that part's coming. The problem with this is there are several. First of all, Juul, which really kind of wrecked our ability to prevent all of this tobacco use a couple of years ago, really exploded in 2017 with this device that looks like a thumb drive. And it doesn't put out a lot of vape immediately. I mean, you don't see the huge clouds like you do with the pen or the tank devices. And so they were easy to hide, and then they put flavors in them and they made it really easy to get them over the internet. Mm-hmm. And they would send you starter kits with three different flavors so you could try them out, and 5% nicotine in these things. And it's a very social activity for middle school, really all the way up through college. So you'll often see people vaping in groups because it's social.
Well, have you ever smoked?
No, but I've had a lot of experience with smoking. My stepfather was a smoker when I was a kid. My father-in-law, they were both World War II vets and had both, you know, been smoking since they were in the war. And they both died of complications from it, even though in my case, my dad had stopped, you know, years before, but he still, you know, had heart and lung issues.
Well, you had a lot of passive smoke, as did I. My father smoked. He died when I was 8. He was a World War II guy, but he died of throat cancer. So you could almost make a direct link to the smoking and the cancer that took him out. And that story has been told over and over. But a listener makes a good point, Dr. Sylvester. Back in the day when more Americans were smoking, we were less fat than we are now. We have a real, real problem with obesity. This is Molly saying, why aren't we focusing on that as well?
Well, I think we should be. But, you know, I mean, let's face it. Right now, there's nothing but COVID out there. We're not dealing with these
but
things.
But COVID's taking out fat people more than skinny people.
Well, it is. And I think there's finally some awareness of that. But, you know, now after it's too late for all of that to kind of sink in. So we do have multiple deals with this. But, you know, there is no evidence that smoking actually helps people reduce their eating. And, I mean, we did go through a period of time when young women, and by the way, more young women are vaping than men. Mm-hmm. So just let that sink in
women
a little bit. Yeah.
More men smoke.
But
more women are vaping.
More women are vaping. And I think this is partly because it's just seen as being more acceptable. You don't have all of the smell in your hair and on your clothes. And maybe they think it looks cool. But mostly they just, it starts with them just being curious. What is it like? What will it make me feel like? And there's a lot of combination of smoking and drinking among college kids because they get a bigger buzz for less money going that way.
Well, I remember when I was in school at LSU, we had an 18-year-old drinking age. We had beer served in the Union. We had a pub in Hatcher Hall, an actual bar. That went away when the law was changed, and you make a good point that the smoking age legally is 21, isn't it?
Yes.
So,
well, buying them.
Well, buying them. Buying them.
There's always that distinction.
Yeah, yeah. Randy and Zachary. Randy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Sylvester. Good morning, Randy.
Yes, I want to talk about somebody of interest. There is Winston Churchill. Now, I can't figure that one out. Thanks.
He lived a long, long life, too. He lived into his 90s, I believe, and he was a cigar smoker, unlike Rush Limbaugh, who was a cigar smoker and died at 70. But some people beat the odds despite misusing their bodies, and Churchill was one of those, and a fine establishment here in Baton Rouge named in his honor. But what about those who say, look, my dad smoked, my grandfather smoked, they lived a long life. Do they have a point?
Well, that's been my argument all along, is that if only tobacco killed people instantly, we'd be dealing with it like we did with COVID. We would have dealt with it a long time ago. But the truth is, it takes a long time for tobacco to kill, and some people are more genetically prone to it than others. And we also know, for example, that women, pregnant women, are much more likely to have low birth weight babies and babies with trouble or die from SIDS later if they're exposed to secondhand smoke. So we know all of these things, but do we make a point of talking about it? No. And doctors, too, for years, I mean, I knew doctors who would tell their heart patients, you know, don't stop smoking because the stress of the withdrawals will be just as bad for you as the heart attack.
Many doctors also smoked, and some still do. But we live in a society in which we have a free choice, and some people decide to do that. And they probably were upset with you for being a scold.
One other point about this. Is you don't know what's in these e-cigarette cartridges anymore. Most of them are manufactured in China. And that's what the Evali thing was they were finding e-acetate and THC products in those vaping things. People didn't know they were using them. In some cases, they deliberately were looking for that. We've had issues with black market counterfeit vaping items here in Louisiana and Baton Rouge within the last couple of months or so.
All right. Well, finally, a listener asked, this is Tracy at the Capitol, what should be the proper punishment for someone who is caught smoking or vaping on campus? What should happen to these students or professors for that matter?
I think there needs to be a mandatory education class, and I think there needs to be help with withdrawal.
I'd love to see that with tenured professors having to attend. Wouldn't that
be
great?
Well, you know, not that many professors are doing it anymore because they're educated, right? They know what they're in for.
Well, on a percentage basis, but some of them, I think, probably are breaking the rules. There's always a few out there.
But it's not as bad as it was prior to 2014.
That is true. And Judith Sylvester led the charge and got it done. I never thought we'd see the day when we had a smoke-free Tiger Stadium, but we do, at least for the most part. It's against the rules to do it. Thank you so much, and good luck with your endeavor, Dr. Judith Sylvester. 27 years at the Manship School. We're back in just a moment with Donna Collins-Lewis, former Metro Councilperson.